Thank you for indulging. Amen. I want to make put this so y'all know that if y'all are here, he was the more thing we all know about the God. Some of y'all still might be here. And when y'all are here saying, no matter what Gloria says and John and Quentin, if they're here, no matter what they say, the pastor wanted to play what? I just want to pray. Amen. Can't have no sad homeboy. Amen. Just want to praise you. Why? Because I'll be gone. And I'll be home with the Lord. And I believe with all my heart to be absent from the body. Is it what? Present. Is there a better place to be? Yeah. Wouldn't give it all up, all worn love and money for baby. Amen. I got salvation. A rich salvation. Amen. And I cherish it through every fiber in my bones. While I was yet away, y'all know we just finished the book of Isaiah, going through the Bible series. And this coming tomorrow, we'll be in the book of Jeremiah. And what we have decided to do, I talked to at least one person talking. On Monday, I challenged those who were going through the Bible with us because I'm so far behind. I'm not going to finish the Bible by the time December gets here. Amen. And some of our congregants who are online with us said I was going too fast and they were missing things. And so I'm going to kind of slow it down. And thanks to Deacon Fred Rain, he called me up and he said, "Hey, Pastor." And I said, "Hey, Dean." He said, "You asked for some information about what we could do to kind of get the Bible study back on track." He said, "Why don't we just drop off the card in a year?"
Hey,
amen. That was his idea. It was mine. Amen. He said, and I said, "You know, that's a good idea." He said, "That way you don't have to rush. You know," he said, "we ain't going nowhere. You can take your time. And you know what? If you don't finish by December, we just keep on going." So I appreciate that. We're going to do that. We're going to drop off the every year, and we're going to call it Through the Bible.
Yes.
Amen. With J. Vernon McGee. Some of y'all know about that. So we're going to go through the Bible because I'm not your conference. I'm not changing anything. But we're going to do that. We're going to keep on going through. And in December, wherever we are, when January comes around, we'll just keep on going until we finish the Bible. Then once we finish, maybe next December, you know, we'll start all over again. And we'll just keep going through the Bible every year for a long time. And I appreciate the thought and you taking that very seriously because I was struggling. I knew I was struggling. And we like going through the Bible. And what I decided to do today, that I'm going back to second grade, but not today. I was off. I got a chance to read Isaiah again because I was finishing up on Isaiah. So we can finish our Bible study on Monday night. And Isaiah 55 just struck me. And I talked to the congregants who were online about that. It's a beautiful invitation that the Lord allowed the prophet to write. And I want to go through that invitation today because I think there's significant events in people's lives. And it kind of helps formulate who you are. And I don't know if you can remember certain things in your life. I remember 9/11. We just celebrated 9/11 the other day. And that was a significant event in people's lives. And, I hope you know what happened. Some young people don't understand the impact that 9/11 had in our lives. It's history to them. Now, you know, that was 19 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. And so a lot of them don't really remember what was going on. I remember how it changed our lives significantly. Like, I can no longer go to the airport at the last minute on a plane. I got to take my shoes off and belts and everything else. All that was what the result of what 9/11. You walk around and you can't go up to the White House before they get all the expenses and stuff, the barricade, and block on Pennsylvania Avenue. All these things took place after 9/11, you know. It changed the way we live. And I think this coronavirus is going to change the way we live. I think it's going to be changing as we move forward. You won't even have a vaccine, and people will be able to take it, and you know, it helps all that. I think it's still going to change the way people live. It's already impacted a lot of people, all the deaths that have taken place and still taking place on a daily basis because of this virus. And so all these things are significant, but you want to remember that there was a significant day in your life, and you might not remember the exact date, but God gave you an invitation. And then we get all these invitations. I get invitations really daily about that drive-by. The drive-by is anything different than now. Drive-by is when you get the duck. Amen. So drive-by is different things these days. I gotta make sure I preference that. I'm not going with them, I'm making other drive-bys. I'm going with the drive-by birthday. Amen. All right. Some people know. I try to make them all, especially for the young people. Those of you who are 50 and over, I'm not coming. So, no, it's not happening. So, but for the young folks, I'm still going to drive by. But they need birthday party. I don't need birthday party. I hope y'all birthday stuff. these significant events, invitations, and this is the most significant invitation I've received. Christ, and that was to be saved. Amen. And I don't know the exact date of the invitation, but I know I received the invitation. And I know I accepted the invitation. And I know that Christ now is in me, and I am in Him. I am dwelt by the Holy Spirit. My life is not the same anymore. I am totally different. Old things have passed away, behold, but all things have become new. Amen. But in Isaiah 55, God gives us a beautiful picture of this invitation. And I don't want to read the entire chapter to you, and I'm not going to be able to expound on the entire chapter in the time frame that we have. But I want you to read it, and I want you to meditate on it. I'll read the entire chapter, and I'm going to pick out three things from this invitation that I believe we ought to recognize, but also embrace, and also realize that our time may be winding down to accept the invitation if we have not, or to give the invitation to those we have not received. Amen? Isaiah 55, listen to it in its entirety. I'm reading from the ESV version, where it says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live." Listen to me. "Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees in the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut. Amen.
Amen.
And that is good news. Amen. That's good news. And I read that, I said, we were studying it and went through it last week on Monday, and I kind of ran through, and that was one of the texts that people were saying that I kind of went too fast on. I said, we know what, I'll just preach it. And we'll hopefully get an understanding of it, because it's significant that we realize the invitation and what the significance is and how it came about. Because see, in its proper context, yes, it is to what? The Jews, the Israelites, because what is happening now is Isaiah is prophesying about a people who will be coming out of an exile that they haven't even gone into. Amen. When you read Isaiah, you got to understand the entire book. And he wrote this book about their return before they actually went in. Amen. And you got to get them to understand that when they go in, they are going to come out. God is going to make a way out of no way. Amen. So he wanted them to understand that. But what he really wanted them to understand was is that it's going to come about because of a servant. Amen. An awesome servant. Amen. And we know ultimately that servant is Jesus Christ, who is our what? He is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. He can't be one or the other. He has to be one. Amen. He has to be our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Which means we give him free reign willingly over our life. And I know people say, well, he's sovereign. He can make anything want. Yeah, he could, but he doesn't. Amen. He gives you free will and never violates his sovereignty. Now you explain that, and you should be here instead of me. Amen. I'll give it to him. Because there are certain things that are incomprehensible. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. There are certain things about God we will never understand. Even when we get there. I know the Bible said that when we get there, we shall know him, because we shall be like him, but you will never know him entirely. Amen. Why? Because we are the created. And he is the creator. And the created will never understand everything about the creation. Amen. But we trust him with our whole heart. Amen. And so there's three things I want to talk to you about. I want to get you in up and out of here because, you know, your summer is closing down. Y'all know that fall is coming and the clock falls up or back. The clock falls back. It's about to get cold and it's going to be, you know, so y'all are going to enjoy these last few summer days y'all have. Amen. And so we're gonna get into this word. I want three things as I was going through this. Three things this is that first I want you to know, and they all deal with you. Amen. They all deal with you, not you personally. But they're you. And what I mean by that is I believe that this invitation is universal in scope. First word is universal. I believe that it is urgent in tone, which means you got to get into it. And last but not least, I believe it's unique in its content. Amen. There's only one invitation like this. Amen. You've got another invitation to be saved by any other way than putting your total faith in Jesus Christ. It's a bogus invitation. Amen. This is a unique invitation. You can only get there. Nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. Amen. The servant. He is the one who came and gave his life for our sinful life. He died a death that he did not have to die. A death that we should have died. And then he got up on that third day with all power in his hand, resurrection power, letting us know that God had accepted the sacrifice of his son on our behalf. And then he gives us the invitation to accept that we might be with him. And that's what chapter 55 is really all about. And that's why it says in the beginning, it says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And see, I said it's universal, right? Because he's saying what? Everyone. Come everyone. And then the other part of it, look at down in verse 5, where it says that, behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. And that nation is talking about the Gentiles. Remember, this letter was to what? To the Jews, to the Israelites. But now he's telling you that what? The invitation is that it's for you, that you're going to go out there and you're going to, guess what? Tell people about the goodness of God, and they're going to come too. So the invitation is also what? Universal to everyone who what? Who will come. And then you get to look at verse 7. He tells universal because he talks about everybody. Well, how do you get that from verse 7? Look at verse 7. He talks about everybody. I'm going to prove my point. It says, let the wicked forsake his way. And people say, well, he's not talking about me. Oh, yes, he is. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Y'all thought y'all were different. No, he's only talking about one person here. He's talking about humanity. And I got that from Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. You don't have to turn there, but when you get home, read this. And listen to what it says here. God says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. You want a synonym for man? It's called wickedness. Amen. It's universal in scope. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God wants you to understand, come everyone who thirsts. Now here's the qualifier. Universal in scope. But the qualifier is, do you thirst? See, come everyone. Then he says, who thirst. So what does that mean? That means if you don't thirst, you ain't coming. Amen. If I'm not thirsty, I'm not coming. You know what? You can have the best bottle of spring water there is on a hot summer day. But if I just finish drinking all that I can drink, guess what? That water has no appeal to me. Amen. I'm not thirsty. I'm not thirsty. I'm not going to drink. It says, come and who has no money. And that's probably most of us in here. Amen. You say, okay, Brad, I'm following you now. No money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, that's kind of strange. Because if you use the word buy, and then you say no price, then am I really buying? So we got to explain that part. And what I believe he's saying here is that, first of all, is that this is a threefold thing. Water is for refreshment. Wine is for enjoyment. Milk is for the nourishment. Amen? And what he wants you to understand is that you need all of this. I can supply all of this. And you can't afford to buy. Isn't that amazing? He's like, yeah, I can give you all this, but you can't afford it. But I'm going to give it to you. That's why I read you Ephesians 2, 8, 9 this morning. Amen. So you can go back and get that understanding of that. He said, you can't afford to buy what you actually need. Amen. You don't have what it takes, because what he's given you is actually priceless. And in those days, water was a very expensive commodity. Remember where they were? They went to the desert. People can't tend to forget that because y'all live in the city. And when y'all read the Bible, y'all gotta know the Bible here. You gotta take the Bible where it was. They went to the desert. And milk was a delicacy. Amen. And all these things were things they just couldn't afford, because for one thing, they were what? They were in captivity. They were just coming out. They didn't have jobs. They were going to go back over to Jerusalem, so they didn't have anything to go. But he says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And what he's saying is, it is priceless. In other words, it is so expensive that you can't get it. And what he's doing here is he's actually using this as a symbol of spiritual longing. Amen. It's a spiritual longing. Now, the water depicts a what? A physical thirst. Amen. You know, it's even harder than the physical craving that you have for food. And it's a metaphor, it's a symbol of a spiritual longing, of something that we actually need that we don't have and we can't get. Amen. And here it is, it's because what he's talking about is righteousness. And we can't get it. You know why? Because of the day that Adam and Eve sinned, it sent everything into trouble. Amen. Everything was beautiful in Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 3, the fall. Amen. And guess what? It's still falling. Amen. It's still falling. It's still falling. And one day it's going to be rectified, and one day Christ is going to come back and fix all of this. Amen. But what he's saying is that I'm giving you the invitation to be a part of what I'm going to fix. And you have to receive it, because you can't buy it. Verse 2 tells you that. He says, why do you spend your money, your efforts, your talent, your time, all of that, for that which is not bread? In other words, for that which cannot sustain you, and your labor for that which does not satisfy. You've never been satisfied in your life outside of Christ. And you think you have. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I can even give you one example. You got a nice job, and they promoted you. And as soon as you got promoted, you were so excited, you were satisfied until after a time. And then you what? You were looking for the next promotion. Amen. The next pay raise. You want a brand new car, you can go out and buy a car today. And you will be so satisfied with the new car smell and all that good stuff and all that. And you will love to drive that car for a while. They'll pay to come. And it gets older. And then all of a sudden, guess what? It's just a car. And that's why commercials get y'all every time. And y'all keep buying these new cars like Sister Car. And you buy car after car after car. You're in the center, you know. And you go buy it. Why? Because you can't satisfy. You can go get a nice house, and you get that house for a while. And all of a sudden, when the repairs start coming, you spend more money on Home Depot. And, you know, you want a new house. This stuff is only temporary. It was never meant to satisfy you. Amen. And that's what he's saying. Why are you spending your time and your efforts on these things and they can't satisfy you? He says, listen diligently to me and eat what is good, the word of God. Amen. And delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Come and get saved. And what the you know what Jesus says? Come to me, all of you who what? Y'all got that, right? See, it's almost the same invitation. Why? Because there's only one invitation. He's just saying it a different time. Amen? Just come to me. He said, you got to come to me. And what I will do, he says, incline your ear and come to me, hear your soul. See, that's the restless part of you. It's your soul. Your soul has no rest apart from Christ. Amen. And your soul cannot find rest in the materialistic world that we live in. Amen. Your spouse, your significant other, cannot give you the rest and the satisfaction that you're looking for in your soul. It only comes from Christ. Amen. So stop looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. It's in Christ. He says, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. I will give you everlasting life for me. Everlasting life. Universal. And here the urgency of all. He said, you got to do it now. Amen. You got to do it now. Look down at verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be what? Found. What does that mean? There's going to come a time when you can't find him. You know why? Because he's going to come back for his church without a spot or a wrinkle, and you didn't accept the invitation. You're going to be like the women who didn't have any oil in their life. Amen. And you're going to come and knock on the door. They're going to say, too late. Because there was an urgency and you didn't take advantage of it. Because what you're saying is, I got time. I want to live this life now. Just in case there ain't no heaven. And I want to enjoy this life as much as I can. I'm going to keep coming to church. But you know what? That's just an insurance policy. Just in case there is a heaven or a hell. I want to be betwixt two. I don't know how people come up with that idea. You can't find that in the Bible. That's why I said he said be Lord and Savior. Either you're in or you're not. Amen. And let me give you something that really goes profound. If you haven't made a decision, you made a decision. Just say it again. If you haven't made a decision, you made a decision. Not to accept the invitation. Amen. And so you got to get to the point that seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That gives you an idea that he might not be near always. There's going to come a time when he's going to make a separation. He has to give you the picture of a gulf that can't be crossed over. Amen. And what he's saying is that the urgency of it is that you got to change your wicked ways. Look what he said. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In other words, yeah, you got to even give up those crazy thoughts you got about not doing what God told you to do. Why? Because your thoughts normally lead to your deeds. Amen? Come on, now, y'all know I'm telling the truth. And people say, well, how do you know that? Because I'm just like you. And I got to put my thoughts in check. Amen? Because if I think about it too much, guess what? I'm going to find myself doing it. Oh, I don't know anyone that does that. I understand that. But I'm okay because I got to be truthful with the Lord. Because he already knows. Amen? He already knows how wicked I can be apart from Christ. Amen? And so what he said, let him return to the Lord that he may have what? Mercy and compassion on him. Here's a little trick that I found in my study on the day. When I read that passage, it was like he's saying that you got to kind of come back to God without compassion on you. No, what this text actually means is that when you come back to God, you'll find how much mercy you already had on you. Isn't that amazing? He's asking, when you're running away from him, he's still having mercy on you. Before you turn around and repent, he's still having mercy on you. He says, but when you turn back like the prodigal son and go back home, you'll find out how much mercy he had on you out there, how much mercy he's out there. Mercy what? He says, mercy from the new mercy I see every day of my life. We don't even realize it because you know what? We take God for granted so much that we think that he's just going to do these things. It's just his mercy, his goodness, and his grace. Man, that's the urgency. You got to come now. You got to seek him. You got to repent. Amen? You got to forsake all of those things. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion, may have mercy on him, And our God, who what? Who what? A heart abundant. So I want you out there in Facebook land and Zoom on to realize that you haven't done anything so bad that God won't forgive you. Somebody got to tell you every now and then. But see, some folks will fool you and try to make you believe that they're better than you are. No, we all in the same boat. We all need Christ to save us. We are just as bad as you are. That's right. We might not do some of the same things you do. Help me somebody. But guess what? It don't change. The Bible tells me, the Bible that I read, the Bible that you have in your hand, says that all of us have what? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You say, well, how short? Too short. Amen. That's why he said, stop wasting your time spending your money. What that thing is, it's talking about not your money, you don't have your money, it's about your time and your efforts and your life on things that have nothing to do with salvation. That's what he's saying. There's an urgency here. He's pleading with you. Why? Because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And that really blows my mind. I don't have to go into it all together, but what we should understand is the urgency of this is that sometimes, even when I think, because of who I am, and I have, my thoughts are tainted with sin. Amen. Even when I think I'm doing something that might be favorable to the Lord, it might not be. Amen. It just might not be. Because God doesn't think like I think. You understand that? You say, well, Pastor, well, but I have the mind of Christ. Yeah, you do. That really is limited on the fact that you understand what you need to be saying. And that you are now trying to live as best you can by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. And that you understand God and you recognize God. But Christ never sinned. So somebody's mind is a little bit different. Amen. Just a little bit. Amen. What he wants us to understand is that we got to understand that sometimes, and this is what I really mean by that, as I get ready to close, and I'm already going to get hard. What I mean by that is sometimes we got here and we start thinking that we are somewhere where we're not. And a good depiction of that is in Luke 18. I don't have time to go through my whole sermon. I wish I did. And in Luke 18, remember, this message was sent to God's folk. Amen. And so I went to Luke 18. And I saw this prayer here from this Pharisee. And this Pharisee that they're praying said, God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of these men. This guy, he thinks he knows God. And he's praying to God. He's thanking God that he's not like everybody else. And God said, you're just like everybody else. But see, he's not what? He's not hungry, but not thirsty for righteousness. Amen. And then right beside him was somebody who had more sense than he did. He wasn't even a religious guy. And right there in 1830, it says he was there. He prayed. He said, God be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Recognition is a blessing. Amen. Realizing who we are is a blessing. Why? Because the text of the Lord says that this man went down to his house justified and the other. So sometimes you can think you are somewhere because you think you have the mind of Christ. You think that your thoughts are like God's thoughts. And God said, you are nowhere near. I am. And he gives you this analogy by saying, look, verse 9, well, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher. In other words, you can't even comprehend. Amen. You can't even comprehend the righteousness, the holiness of God. Amen. And so the urgency is that I need to accept this invitation and come out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. What would the light show me? Is that I need a Savior. That's what it's going to do. That I need someone who understands, has done all the things that he needs to do to save me. And this whole thing comes about, and I'm not going to do it, but you got to read Isaiah 53 to understand 55. The suffering. Serve. Amen. Amen. I mean, I got to read a little piece of it just so y'all know what I'm talking about. And it says that he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before was shearing silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken in the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked. And it goes on to talk about, surely he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten, God afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was chastisement that brought us peace. Amen. And by his stripes we are healed. It's because of the suffering servant did all he had to do. He said, now I can offer you the invitation. Then guess what? If you take my invitation, you don't have to, guess what? You don't have to justify yourself. I will justify you because you are what? You are now in me and I am in you. He says, I want you to take this invitation. Why? It's free. You can't buy it. I'm going to give it to you. But you got to do it now. You got to seek the Lord while you may be found. The last part that I really want to go on this part is, it's unique. It's unique in the fact that it only applies to the suffering servant. You can only be saved through Christ. That's what he wants you to understand. And you got that part also because it comes through his word, and his word will not return to him void. It's in the text. Amen. And his word came what? That we might have a revelation of who Christ is, not was, is in our life and all that he's done. And guess what? This great gospel of Christ coming through a virgin, being born, amen, and living on this earth for 33 and a half years, doing a lot of miraculous things, and we would understand that he is what? The Son of God. And then giving his life for us on a cross, dying a death that he should not have died for us, but getting up on that third day with all power in his hand. He says, that is what the gospel tells us. That is the invitation. We have to believe that with our whole heart. You can't believe part of it. You have to believe all of it. If you don't believe the virgin birth, guess what? You don't believe the gospel. If you don't believe he was sinless, you don't believe the gospel. If you don't believe he died and was resurrected, you do not believe the gospel. If you don't believe he's coming back, you do not believe the gospel. I know it's been over 2,000 years. You think, where is he? He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And when he comes back, look at verse 13. Instead of the thorns shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It's going to be forever and ever and ever. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we are going to live with him forever. Why? Because you accepted the free invitation of salvation. You couldn't buy it. It was free to us, but it cost God his son. It cost God everything. He was willing to give him up for you. That's the invitation. That's why I'm saying it's universal in scope. He says, everyone who thirsts, are you thirsty? Are you hungry and thirst for righteousness' sake? Do you seek him first in his righteousness so all those other things will be added unto you? Do you understand that by grace you have been saved through faith? You understand that? It was a gift of God that we could not buy it. We can't work for it, so we can't boast about anything that we've done. Everything that we do that God acted what empowers us to do, and we owe him our very lives. That's my favorite scripture. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet that life of Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself just for me. Is that true in your life? If it's not, accept the invitation. Come to Christ while you can. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is yet near, because today is the day of salvation. You got to understand that. We got to stop playing around. This invitation does not last forever. It doesn't. Christ is coming back. And if he tarries and doesn't come back, you are going to leave this place. Amen. Not by the coronavirus, just by life itself. Amen. Because of sin, what? Death entered into the world. And we're all going to die. And we need to understand that. And if you die or you accept the invitation, it will be too late. Jesus is knocking. He's asking you to come to the banquet. That's the picture of you getting the water. That's the picture of you getting the wine. That's the picture of you getting the milk. He said, come to the banquet. I prepared a table just for you. He's giving you an invitation to come to the banquet, an invitation to be saved and to live with him forever. And if you do not accept it, he will not force you. And you will spend an eternity in the absence of the presence of God. Do you know what the anguish, I believe, that part of it is going to be when those who do not accept Christ are in a place of torment? I believe part of the anguish is going to be that they know they could have. And they know they should have. But they fail to do it because they wanted what this world very temporal sense. And God is saying, come and eat rich food. Come and live a life pleasing to me. And I will give you all that you need to sustain in this life and in the one to come. God, we thank you for the entire book of Isaiah. What a joy it was going through this marvelous book of Isaiah. All 66 chapters of them, filled with your goodness. God, it shows how good you are, despite the fact that we, at times, can be very disobedient and obstinate. And we don't follow that which we know we should do. And just like the Israelites of God, just like the Jews of God, we believe that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly of all we ask of you. You can take the way out of no way, of God. You gave us an invitation. You drew us in, of God. You saved us. And we accepted the free gift of salvation. We know now that this unique invitation, this unique assistance, can only come from you, but it also has to be accepted individually by each person. There is no family plan to give to heaven. So we have to believe with all of our heart, mind, and soul that you are God, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Spirit of God dwells within us now and leads us into all truth. God, help us to understand this more and more as we continue to stay in the room. We pray this in Christ. Amen. 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 Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. We just thank the Lord for once again him being a good God and his grace, his mercy.
Amen.